Right, Graham, would you give me a brief history of the background at Dunlea Farm?
Yeah, my dad was born here. My granddad farmed here before him. He was born at Dairy House, then he moved up to here, my granddad. Then my dad was born here. So it's been back a few years. I was born in 1958.
What kind of farming was your dad doing then when he took it over here? And how big was the farm then?
It was 84 acres. He got 6 cows, so many pigs, a few sheep, hens, a few of everything, half a dozen pigs. Well, it was just a family farm, I think, making a living. And in the 70s, he started to expand. Early 70s, I think the tank, full tank, and the cubicle shed went in up in 1969. And after that, he started expanding.
So before that, he'd have shipments?
Yeah. Never had the pipeline, but he went from milking in the buckets to the parlour. That was in 1970.
So you like quite early at having a milking parlour, really?
Yeah, I think you were one of the first to have a parlour and one of the first, not the first, but one of the first to have bulk tank.
In this area?
In this area, yeah.
And how many cows would he be milking then?
I think around 60 then, which were quite a big herd, weren't they? I remember going to Mould with him, buying cows, North Wales there. He liked a sort of cattle, they were small Welsh type cattle, you know, nice.
Frisians?
Yeah, they were the Frisians then, yeah. Can remember Shorthorns here, blue ones, yeah, red ones, the first crosses when the Frisians started coming, and the Ulsteins, yeah.
And you said about poultry?
Yeah, you used to have encotes scattered around the farm.
Oh, you used to do breeding poultry, there was one or two of you around about?
I think you did, I think you did in the front meadow. There was
Buxtons were doing the same thing.
I think we did, your dad used to. Yeah.
Breed pedigree poultry, like, yeah.
Mostly Warren, I think. I can remember these brown hens running about. Foxes used to get in them a bit. I can remember that.
That'd be kids' jobs, wouldn't it, running around shutting them
up?
Yeah,
we used to go round at night, when it was dark, round the fields, frightened to death, because it was dark, because we weren't very old.
How old were you then?
We were at little school, in the first school, we would be...
Under 11 then?
Yeah, 8, 9, 10. Looking back, it was fun, like, but...
Not at the time.
No, not at the time, because we were frightened, because it was dark, yeah. Then in the 60s, they used to put these cages in.
Oh, so you had some battery cages?
Yeah, battery cages. Yeah, 2 sheds of them. 2,000 and one shed, 600 and another.
And who looked after them? Whose job was
that? My dad used to, then we used to collect the eggs. We used to help to feed, collect the eggs when we were little. Grade the eggs. Little grader we used to have these eggs on. My mum used to do that.
So during the 70s, did any of these sort of things drop off and you concentrated more on the cows?
The hens would go in mid-70s. I wasn't keen on them and I think the cage going out. So we got rid of them. I think my Uncle John had the cages. Yeah, we stopped. Okay, yeah, stopped the ends.
Well, I suppose you'd be getting leaving school then, would you?
Yeah, so now I left school.
So you encouraged the hens to go?
Well, nobody seemed to like them. Yeah. Things were changing. We was with the eggs, harder to sell them because we didn't have enough of them. Used to go to Staffordshire Egg Producers, the eggs did, in a few local shops. I think Staffordshire Egg Producers packed up, went out of business or something. We was struggling to sell them then. They went. That was that.
So what else did he keep?
A few sheep, about 30.
What breed were those?
We used to go down to Wales, Craven Arms, to buy...
Be Clunns, would they, down there?
Yeah, Clunns with a tuft on the head. Mm. Yeah, that's where we used to come from.
And what ram would he put on them?
Suffolk.
So be proper fat lambs,
yeah,
wouldn't they?
Oh yeah, good lambs. Quite good sheep, but...
Gone a bit out of fashion,
yeah,
haven't they?
Not there now, are they?
No. And did you keep any pigs or anything?
Yeah, a few pigs.
So it was a proper mixed farm?
Yeah, a few sows. Remember, and put them in these crates, pig fowling crates, weren't they?
So did you sell wieners?
No, you fatten them.
Fatten them?
Fatten these pigs and you take them to Newcastle Market. Loaded them into a bit of a trailer and squeezing like mad and carting them off down there. Bit of everything, a few beef animals.
What breed were those?
I can remember some Charolais.
Because they would come in the 60s, really, wouldn't they?
Big, You used to call them donkeys because they were that colour.
Were they what you'd bred yourself off your own cows?
Yeah, one or two of them, plus the heifers we used to rear.
Your own?
Yeah, proper mixed. And
what was the next big change then?
I think we kept increasing the cows. I remember when we had 100th cow on the place. Big thing. That's a good while ago. That would be early 70s.
Were you still buying cattle in then, dairy cattle?
No. We reared all at home then, yeah, from then on.
And have you kept that up ever since, rearing your own?
Yeah, all home bred. But we have bought a few this year, replacements, because went through a spell not having many heifer calves. So we had to buy, we've had to buy a few in this year. Kept buying land from the 70s. My dad bought a neighbouring farm, which was up to 120 acres. Then a bit of land off the next neighbour, and just kept going from there.
And never given that up, have
no.
you? Is he an addiction?
Well, when he joins, you thought to buy, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Would quotas affect you in a big way?
Yeah, the Etters are then. When were they bought in? 84, was it?
83, 84, yes.
Yeah. Based is on a year when we were expanding.
But if you were committed to expand, you could get extra quota, couldn't you?
Yeah,
if you could show it.
Yeah, we did get 70,000 litres allocated. Then we got scaled back on that. So it was a bit. Yeah, not a lot. We bought 1.5 million litres a quota.
In what period after that?
Yeah, probably in the following 10 years.
Within those 10 years?
Yeah.
What sort of prices? Can you remember what you had to pay for that?
Yeah, first lot we bought 30 pence a litre. We used to lease in. That got to 20 odd pence, I think. Stupid price. We did buy some at 70 pence. Then we bought some later on. It started coming down about 18, 20 pence.
Yeah. Do you think with hindsight that was a sensible thing to do, pay that sort of money to buy in quota when you could have just kept less cows or not? Do you think you did the right thing?
I think so, but looking back, wasted a lot of money, especially on leasing. But we had to do it.
To stay where we were expanding.
What else do you do? So we had to do it, I think. But it was taking a lot of money, weren't it?
Mm.
Yeah. All the time, every year.
They've only just gone off, haven't they, this last couple of years? So we've had them like 20 years, haven't we?
It was 18. They finished in 2015, was it 2000?
It's over 20 years, isn't it?
When did they finish?
It's about 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2015, I think. I mean, last 5 years, they weren't there, were they?
No, because the country was underproducing, weren't we, as far as quota. I mean, generally, do you think it was a good idea?
It kept us expanding.
No, but I mean, generally, for the dairy industry, do you think quotas, because some people say they've been good.
Yeah, I think they were good, weren't they?
I suppose we've got some stability, haven't we?
Yeah, the elders get the price up, didn't they, milk? But I don't know if it was a good thing or not. Yeah, I think it was, looking back. But as soon as quotas ended, look what happened to milk price.
Mm, on the floor.
Yeah, so I think it was a good thing then. Well, the last 5 years were better because we was producing.
The country was under, weren't we?
Yeah, and we kept a good price, didn't we? And we wasn't wasting it on, well, we wasn't spending it on leasing.
What other things do you remember about the 1980s then? Were you putting your sheep numbers up then?
Yeah, late '80s. '80s we started expanding the sheep. Two next door neighbours wanted us to rent the land. So we rented and put sheep on. But since then, that land's gone. But we bought our own. So the sheep are on mostly our home land now. I think we had 340 sheep in the early 90s. Now we're up to about around 900 breeding ewes.
Mainly mules?
Mainly mules. We do keep a few Texel cross mules each year, ewe lambs. They come into the flock.
Do you see yourself going over to them, or just stay as you are with a...
We like mules, because they're good mothers, just have too many lambs.
I was just going to say that.
You just have too many lambs.
Do you finish your lambs or sell them as stores? All of them?
Yeah, October, November and December, we sell them as stores. Yeah.
You're not tempted to finish any?
No. You get a good price, and we're happy with the price, because they kept quite thick on through the summer. just want them gone off the farm than because of the...
Well, I suppose you can concentrate on your cows, can't you?
Yeah, and the grass, we like the grass for the ewes to winter them, through the rest of the winter, right? Yeah.
So what was the next milestone? You said BSE affected things badly.
It did, because we had a few cases, BSE.
In, obviously, in homebred cattle.
Yeah, in homebred cattle. Born, they were born, 78, I think, and cattle were.
Was it a shock when you had your first?
I think it were, really. We was hoping we didn't get any. Mm. Yeah, to see them, it was horrible. Yeah, these cows. All one group. We can remember one year with these calves, we reared them on straw. We were short age. We had advisors saying, oh, you want to rear them on straw and give them these protein pallets, which we did. And when we went off VOCM, giving them these protein pallets, then it weren't until years later when they started going daft. And it was all one group that these cattle, what went, most of them went with it. They went and then it would clear up and...
You've never seen it since?
No.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. See, never forgot. Yeah, and that seemed changed farm and couldn't sell.
It certainly affected things, didn't it?
Yeah. Barren cows, you know, especially. You used to take them up red ferns.
Mm.
It was a waste.
Tremendous waste, wasn't it?
Yeah. Nothing was proven.
No.
No connection. I can remember that Professor Lacey coming on the television saying we were all going to die.
And there's nothing been heard since, really, has there?
Where's he gone?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's one thing stuck in your mind, him coming on. Frightness to death, isn't he?
Mm.
It's not just us, it was everybody.
It just goes to show, it makes you very wary about what...
What you've been told now,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
I go market now, I'll have breakfast down there, we'll have bacon, have sausage every week, and have toast.
Yeah.
I'm still living.
Yeah. How many cattle have you got on now? What are you up to?
The cows and the beef animals and the young heifers, there's around 700. 300 cows.
That's your dairy herd?
Yeah. 300 milking cows, yeah. For the dry cows. Then there's about 100 beef animals, then the rest, young stock, dairy replacements.
Obviously, you've had issues with TB like everybody else in the area. Is that one of your biggest problems at the moment?
Well, it's always back in mind, but we are free at the moment. But we're due for a test, which last time we were down 2 years ago, causes a lot of problems.
It's always a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always there.
All testing. It's.
I mean, you get a test, you do it. It takes us a full day to test, to inject, same to read. After you get, always get a few abortions, after the injection mark, you have a conclusive for a reactor. Test 2 months, every 2 months, then till you clear. I mean, it's all right in the winter when the cows are housed. It's testing, but in the summer, you need a day rounding up before the test. You need to test. It's a lot of work.
It's the best part of a week gone by the time you've gathered them twice, isn't
you're
it?
Taking them back, then gathering them up again.
And it's very upsetting for the stock, isn't it?
It's upsetting for everybody because everybody gets stressed. Then when you get a few abortions, that makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's very disheartening.
Mm. Then, if you get these reactors, it's even worse, because it does affect a closed herd, because cows go back generations. You lose some of them, you can lose...
You can lose bloodlines that you've had, can't you?
Yeah. Most cows go back to these. My dad bought off a mould years ago.
We're going back into NVZ regulations now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Do you find your slurry's a problem, or do you treat it as a valuable commodity?
It's a fertiliser, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. Nowadays, I mean, we used to be a problem with the slurry all winter, getting it out. Getting it on frozen land, we always wanted to frost it and get muck out through the winter. But now we try and empty it in September. We've got two big towers storing about 1,200,000 gallon. We get it out in September, then we can store it right through to March. But the lads won't get it out in October and I won't let them because I say it's wasting the muck. You know, it's gone back.
I mean, you don't just get it out in September, because obviously you put it on your land.
Yeah, put it on the land.
In the spring and summer, don't you?
Yeah, we're spreading it all the summer.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure it's empty in September.
September, yeah. Mm. after the third cut, we empty it onto that, and it grows grass for the sheep. So we store it till March, middle of March, and we start pumping it out.
Do you think there's any point to all the MVZ paperwork? I mean, obviously, you're trying to make the best use of your slurry for your farm and not waste it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you don't mind the dates. You can live with the dates.
Yeah, I can live with the dates.
But do you think there's any point to all the paperwork?
Waste of time.
Like a lot of paperwork we have to do.
Yeah, a lot of paperwork. If you're a good farmer, you look after your land, which means putting slurry on it at the right time. And you don't pollute the rivers, the streams. They're doing it when it's growing. It costs us a lot of money doing it ours, but it's the best money we've ever spent. Because
you're on top of your job.
Yeah, you've no headaches through the winter. You can clean your slurry for when it's needed.
Yeah. I suppose in a way you're fortunate that you've been able to afford to spend that money, whereas perhaps some smaller farmers would struggle to put the infrastructure in place.
You spend your money, but you're saving it on fertiliser. That's how I look at it.
Would you call yourselves fairly intensive farmers?
We're not over-intensive, because we've got a fair lot of land.
Mm.
So, no, I won't say we're very intensive. We're intensive, we're not very
intensive. You're farming in a big way, but not very intensive.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Obviously, there's quite a lot of family labour involved. Have you got much extra labour?
It's mostly family. A couple of lads. Jack does 2 days. It's more part-time workers.
Mm. Do you think you've got a succession plan in place with the youngsters?
We've 2 sons, so I think they're very interested.
They're interested?
Yeah.
So you think there's a good future for them?
One's more interested in the farming and one's a bit contractor-minded.
Because, yes, that's another thing we haven't talked about. You do quite a lot of contracting.
Yeah.
What, slurry spreading, silaging?
Silaging, anything really, slurry spreading, silaging, yeah, umbilical spreading, into baling, a lot of baling.
Big baling?
Yeah, round bales and square bales, most things, isn't it?
Because you've got, is your self-propelled silage?
Forage harvester.
That's a pretty new one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yes, that was bought new.
How many acres will that do a year?
We do about 3,000.
Including your own?
Including our own, which it's enough for us with doing the farming.
Do you do any contracting?
No, not a lot. I'm a runabout when they're salvaging. If anything breaks down, it's fetch me this.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it, yeah.
You like the contracting?
Yeah.
But
I like it.
You like it as it is like?
Yeah, I like to see the machinery working.
I suppose you've always liked keep up with modern stuff.
Yeah. Got to keep up with modern stuff.
So what kind of modern stuff are you looking at now? Not looking at a drone or anything?
Only to play with, yeah. There you go, I just like the machinery modern, because it's changing all the time, more efficient.
What do you think about the size of the tattle nowadays? Because obviously this land in the South West Peak's quite delicate, isn't
yeah.
it? Do you think sometimes the tattle's too big?
It's getting heavier. Well, we do tend to pull it on bigger tyres, and the rakes we use are bigger, so you're pulling more ground into a row, and you're doing less passes. I think that's the only way you can get round
so,
the wetter ground, you know, the tender ground.
Mm, yeah. In this area, the South West Peak, we've got a beautiful landscape, haven't we,
yeah.
with lots of, in places, lots of little fields.
Yeah.
And the big tackle's not really very good in those, is it?
Well, we tend to, what's the answer on that one?
I mean, some small farmers who want contractors are now finding it difficult to get someone to do some of the work, aren't they?
Yeah.
Because
stuff's going too big.
Mm. Do you think there should be a place for a contractor with smaller things?
Yeah, but everybody wants it doing yesterday.
That's true, yeah. Because the weather's a bit more unsettled, isn't it?
Yeah. The weather's dodgy.
So you need the tattle to be that big to get the workload?
I think so, yeah. Do.
How many acres do you cover in a day with that big machine? I know you do long days.
Yeah, we do long days. We can do about 150 acre a day.
Of a big crop?
Of a big crop, on a big day, but mostly. Some farms, we only do 80 acres a day because they're small.
Mm. And of course they'll depend on the fields as well, won't
it? The fields. Everything's got to be right to do 150 acres. Mm. You go to some farms and you're limited at the silage bit. There's a limit somewhere. Yeah. You get into some big fields with a big rake. But in your smaller fields, if you've got a big enough rake, you soon do a small field twice round and up the middle, and it's done.
So what do you think about how we keep Southwest Peak and keep the special qualities of it?
Keep it beautiful.
Well, everything, not just beautiful, but keep it working and in a sustainable manner.
Bit of help from the government.
What sort of help?
Well, grants go help.
On the lines of the old ESA and things like that?
Yeah, like the ESA was, with your edge, you know, your edge planting, your wall building, your stone building, restoration, whatever you call it, and a bit of payment to help the farmers along on, you know, the grassland, the grazing.
You think we should be paid to look after what few hay meadows we've got left? The flower rich ones?
Yeah, they're nice to see. Mm. They're nice to see, and it makes nice hay. There ought to be a future for them.
I mean, would you like to have one if you'd got one?
We would, I would love, love one. I got one, because it'd be nice to go and look at and see, because I like the butterflies and think the bees, all that. I will tell you how I like my birds, my wild birds. Yeah, feed them. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Have you got any land now that might be described as species rich, like still with old grasses and herbs and flowers and things in?
No.
Nothing?
No, no. But we didn't have any.
Never had any?
No.
So would you say all or most of your grassland is just grass, ryegrasses?
Not all of it's ryegrass. No, it's more, it's the old turf.
You've still got some old turf?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you do quite a lot of reseeding, don't you?
Yeah, but that's meadowland.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't.
So you've still got some old pastures?
Yeah, we've still got old pastures, yeah.
Do you value them? Do you think they're worth saving?
They're good because they're on wetter land and it carries the stock better.
It doesn't become nesh.
Yeah, it doesn't become nesh. Yeah.
But do you think there's a place for having a wide variety of species for livestock health?
It's better for the sheep. The ryegrasses seem to do better.
Yeah.
We used to put them on better land and we used to have a lot of dirty lambs scouring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's too rich.
Too rich. Mm-hmm. Then we used to get maggots and all that sort of bother with that. So we keep them more on the traditional land now, the traditional pasture, and they keep clean. Yeah. A lot better for sheep. Well, we found that out over the years.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, sheep stay on, when the lambs, they stay on the more, the old pasture, as we call it, with low inputs.
Have you got any, shall we say, wildlife on the farm, apart from badgers and foxes?
We've got peewits, blackwing.
Have you?
Yeah.
Many?
We had 6 nesting pairs last year.
And which sort of land do they nest on? Are they on the bare pastures?
Yeah, they're on the old pasture.
Yeah.
What sometimes gets trod a bit.
Yeah.
We tend to spread bedding muck.
Yeah.
On them. For them, you know, if we look at this, is what we were told in the ESA. So we did it. And we topped the rushes, you know, so especially for the lapwings. But the disappointing thing is, you can see these little chickens start hatch, they start running about, or they start hatching, then they just sort of disappear. We had, I think, 2 lots survive last summer, yeah.
Do you think has them? I mean, do you think it's crows or badgers?
Yeah.
Or both?
Both, yeah. It's a shame, really.
That's the sad thing, isn't it?
Yeah, you do all this thing, then they just disappear.
Mm.
You know, we get the blame, farmers get the blame, but it isn't all the farmers.
Have you got any or many hedges?
Yeah, we've got more hedges than we have, because there's some of the land we've bought has got hedges on, yeah.
And you haven't done any tree planting or hedge planting?
We've planted hedges in the ESA scheme.
Yeah.
Now, when we were thinking about it, we did more on what we thought we did in the ESA. Yeah, we did plant some hedges.